Barbara Marlowe, Reel 7. Yes, you were saying about your father and this experience of anti-Semitism in the army.
Yes, I think that for this reason, in fact, he was one of the founding members of the Jewish Excombatants Association before the war. But I really can't say much about them because he never told us any special incidents or general feeling of anti-Semitism. I knew some of the other people who were members of the association with him on the committee. But no, I'm not aware of any special thing. All I know that he told me that when he was stationed in Palestine, one of the problems with Jewish soldiers was the high level of desertions. And I think this was very badly regarded by the Polish soldiers and Polish officers, because that was not the time to be deserting. They were all going on to fight the common enemy. So I think that is as far as this part goes. But I'm not in a position to give any detailed account of anti-Semitism at that stage.
I wondered now if I could go back to the war and to the Warsaw Uprising, because, you know, obviously you went almost through that, didn't you?
Well, yes. Part of it.
If there's anything more you could tell me about that. But, for instance, at the beginning, were you aware of the radio messages that were, you know, any communication?
Oh, we were very aware that the Russians were approaching. In fact, I remember they were dropping leaflets from planes in Warsaw, saying the Russian army is coming. Aren't you going to help us? Aren't you going to liberate Warsaw? There was a great feeling of euphoria. We heard about D-Day, about the English and American armies advancing from the west. We were counting the days to the end of the war, and we could see every day columns of Germans going west, leaving Warsaw. So it just seemed completely natural that something should happen. It was a powder keg waiting to explode. So the moment when Warsaw Rising started, there was this terrific euphoria. What we didn't realize was that the Russians were going to stop and allow the Germans to regroup and to surround us. And they needed so little to fight us with. I don't know, there were two or three planes which were searching Warsaw and bombing us all the time. And there were pockets of Polish resistance and pockets of Germans, and the Germans broke in the Vlasov army, the Ukrainians, who were terrible. They were raping and, you know, for a ring they would cut your finger off, for a pair of earrings cut your ear off. Raping, they murdered people wholesale in the area they were operating in. So there was this, in Warsaw, in the Polish held areas, there was a feeling we had to fight. At the same time, it was euphoric. Suddenly we were able to do something. Have to remember that was 5 years of German occupation. Everybody had been suppressed all this time. We've been living, whether you are Jewish or Polish, we're living in a constant danger. You could be shot for nothing. You could be hit and thrown into prison for not making way for a German in the street. For carrying a textbook, you're not allowed to have secondary education, you're not allowed to carry books. I mean, it was the most awful life. And as far as the force were concerned, I know that a lot of people say that more people could have been saved if more force were prepared to hide Jews. Let no one forget that the penalty for hiding a Jew was death. A And it wasn't the death of one person, it was the death of the whole family. It's very easy today to say, why didn't they help? Why were they doing that? I wonder what it would have been like. But going back to the Warsaw Rising, because of all this, because of the difficulties of those 5 years, suddenly there was this wonderful feeling of freedom. And Alan Knight cared for very much at that point. When you live with danger for so long, you probably stop valuing your own life. And if you could die fighting, it was always preferable to dying for nothing, for no good reason. People were pulling together. In all Warsaw, you had only certain areas where you had individual villas. But basically, the way of life was to live in blocks of flats. Now, sometimes they had many courtyards. Virtually every house in a courtyard had an altar during the Warsaw Rising. And people used to congregate morning and night to thank God and to praise God. And in other courtyards, you had cemeteries. It was a very special time. Maybe because I was so young, I felt this euphoria. I had friends who were killed next to me. I remember one of these artillery shells falling so close that I wasn't hurt because all the debris went over my head. God knows why I wasn't killed. It was a question of inches. So many occasions when I could have been dead. And I have not. I'm still here. But the carrying of the people during the Warsaw Rising was something which you cannot imagine. It was wonderful. We were all fighting the Germans. A lot of hate can accumulate over a 5 year period of persecution of the kind which we had to endure.
How about the organization of it? You know, you were saying about the group that you worked with, the sort of social services, as it were, delivering.
There were all sorts of groups. There were guides. There were children as young as 10. Taking part in the Warsaw Rising. There is a Warsaw Memorial to a 10-year-old. Age was no barrier. In fact, when I applied for my first commemorative medal, somebody in the commission said I was too young, and the general commanding General Bohr said I have decorated children of 10 and 12. As far as the command part of it, I really can't comment. I know nothing about it. But all I know is that we fought as hard as we could, and we tried to help as many people as we could, and it was a vast majority of people who were doing it. Again, there were always people who were cowards and but it was jolly tough, you know, to be under constant bombardment without food. To get a drink of water, you were taking your life in your hands because you had to go to standpipe and queue. And you were shot at by snipers.
Sounds like Bosnia today, or something.
Yes, even. Very much so, very much so. But there was a wonderful spirit. And that's what I remember, and that's what I value. And I still have friends from that period.
Did you go through the sewers yourself?
No, I didn't.
They were used, though, weren't they?
They were used And my mother very nearly, when the old city fell, she was in the queue, but didn't make it into the sewer. And that was terrible. I mean, there were people coming out of the sewers half blind because of the gases in the sewers. And the Germans were lifting manholes. When you had to go under German positions, they were lifting manholes and throwing grenades into the sewers. I think people who came through the sewers were heroes. And the messengers who were going backwards and forwards between the center of Warsaw and the old city through the sewers. I don't think that there is high enough praise for the heroism.
Warsaw was a very beautiful city, wasn't it?
I think it was. My memories of it are.
I wonder what you felt going back, you know, and seeing me.
It's a very strange feeling going back to Poland, generally. I find that people recognize that you come from abroad. And especially during the communist era, when we went to see my in-laws, several times I was congratulated on my good command of Polish. And I felt insulted. It's very strange being a tourist, a visitor in the country of your birth. Because again, I still regard Poland as country of my birth. It always will be. I can't think of Poland as any other country in Europe. There is something special about it. 15 years of my life. And a lot of history.
A lot of culture.
A lot of culture. Again, it probably includes, had an influence on what I am. But I wouldn't like to live there now. I couldn't. I think 50 years of communism have changed the country. It's not the same country. And I go there and I look at number 23, Aleja Rozolinska, where I was born. And it's a different house, it's in a different place. It's not got the same street number. But it's not my home. Neither is the home where my grandparents lived. So, strange feelings, great mixtures of feelings. But then, England is my home now. I spend more, much longer in this country than I have ever spent in Poland.
Barbara, you're very kindly going to read some of the poems you wrote during the war, which of course were very sort of central to what was going on.
Well, the first I wrote in 1940, after my father left Poland, and it's called Maybe It Will Come Back. Maybe my happiness will come back. Maybe I'll come back to the old days. Maybe I'll come back to my joy and happiness. Maybe I'll go back to my school days. Maybe my darling father will come back and will bring back the charm of the old days. Maybe I'll come back to my happiness and I'll come back to my school days. The second, and here it is in Polish. Może wrócę do mojej radości, może wrócę do minionych dni, może wrócę do szczęścia, wesołości, może wrócę do szkolnych dni. Może wróci mój tatuś jedyny i przywiezie urok dawnych dni. Może wrócę do mojej radości i wrócę do szkolnych dni. Another one is a little poem I wrote for my grandmother on Mother's Day. I think it was either 1940, probably 1941. Allow me, dear grandmother, to wish you today on behalf of your sons. They are with you with their hearts and their souls, though they have to be in a different country. On their behalf, I give you their best wishes, so that wishing you that fate should change and that you should see them soon and give them your hugs. And in Polish, Formuli, babciu kochana, bym ci siłą zastąpiła dzisiejszego rana. Oni są z tobą sercem i duszą, choć niestety w innym kraju mieszkać muszą. W ich imieniu składam ci dziś życzeń moc, by ci się nareszcie odmienił los, byś ich jak najprędzej ujrzała i serdecznie uściskała. This one uttered for my mother on Mother's Day, probably in 41 or 42. You told me that I had many mothers, and I have to tell you that none of them could replace you. I know that they have for me a great deal of kindness and sympathy, but their sympathy cannot be exchanged for a mother's love. You know that I don't hold grudges. They have their own daughters, and it's difficult for them to love a stranger's child. Unfortunately, I did not write any more. I think there was another piece, but I haven't got it written down anymore. In Polish it says, że dużo mam matek, takiś mi mówiła, a ja ci na to odpowiem, żadna z nich by mi cię nie zastąpiła. Wiem, że mają dla mnie wiele życzliwości, lecz życzliwość mateczna nie zastąpi miłości. Rozumiesz, nie mam żalu, oni mają córki swe, ale trudno, więc trudno im tak serdecznie kochać dziecko obce. There was another piece, but when I wrote it, I couldn't remember.
Did the fact that you and your mother, you know, you went through such traumatic events together, do you think it made a difference to your relationship? Were you very close, would you say?
No, I don't think we were in the end. I think I was closer to my father afterwards. I think it's a useful mother-daughter thing.
How did your mother adapt to life in England?
Found it more, much more difficult, but she learned to speak English, contrary to some wives. You see, my father spoke good English, but life was very different and quite difficult for them, because my father had no business here, and you know, they went through very, very hard times. He had a couple of jobs, and then he became director of an export firm. But it was very difficult for them.
Were they able to get compensation from the German government?
Not really. My mother and I both get the German pension now, you know, for lots of health. And, but it's a very strange pension, because it dropped the moment I reached retirement, official retirement age. It's a very cockeyed system, but once you reach retirement age, you can earn as much as you like in your working life, and that doesn't affect the level of your pension. But once you start receiving pensions, all unearned income is deducted from the German pension. I cannot understand that. So my pension has dropped by more than half, just at the time when I could use it.
Well, Barbara, thank you again.
Well, not at all, but let me show you. I wanted to show you, but I think